Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One other thing you can do is subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today on the web at equip.org. During the 55-year history of our ministry, this magazine has been among the most important resources that we have consistently produced. One of the feature stories in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal is Cosmos, Materialism for the Masses, which is precisely what Cosmos is. That series is nothing more than the popularization of philosophical naturalism. And I think it's rather interesting that as science advances, it seems more likely that one will find an atheist in the philosophy department than in the physics department. Why? Because, as noted in the October 9th issue of Nature, a veritable host of biologists are calling for change in how evolutionary theory is conceptualized. A growing number of experts in developmental biology, ecology, and the social sciences contend that evolutionary biology is in desperate need of revision. In other words, here you have people within the sciences themselves talking about how the evolutionary notion desperately needs to be revised. And yet you find a series like Cosmos endorsed in the highest office of the land. President Barack Obama praises the spirit of discovery that Carl Sagan captured in the original Cosmos, the seal of the president in the background as he makes his endorsement. And of course, what was Carl Sagan's mantra? It was, the cosmos is all that is, that ever was, that ever will be. The message of Cosmos is simple. Doing science rightly requires throwing off the shackles of spirituality. But in reality, what you have here, endorsed by the president, popular in schools today, is a series that seriously distorts the history of science. Not only that, but it is bent on neutering academic freedom and appears to be a case study in brainwashing. In other words, if you present all of the evidence on one side of the ledger and you repress all of the evidence on the other side of the ledger, that by definition is not education. It probably fits better in the category of brainwashing. At any rate, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal has a great article on Cosmos by Casey Luskin. It's must reading. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today, again in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or simply by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Also, the cover story, don't forget, I wrote it myself. It is Left Behind from Root to Ripened Fruit. Ideas have consequences, and this idea, 19th century idea, has now borne much of its ripened fruit, much more to come. Again, I wrote about that in the Christian Research Journal cover story. Subscribe today, equip.org. The most effective, efficient way to subscribe. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Manny, Riverside, California, listening on NRB television. Hi, Manny.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed, man. I'm glad you're still, on NRB. Comes out crystal clear. Thanks for that.
You got it.
Here's my question. Bible manuscripts. I got saved in King James Only Church, and I left that and got involved with a non-denominational group and went into King James. And the past 3 years, I've just been looking at these different versions, Bible translations, a lot of confusion going on. What do you recommend? What are your thoughts on Bible translations? What would be a good translation to teach out of? And where you're getting the whole picture as opposed to maybe a couple of verses being omitted or maybe even not even flowing right. What do you think about that? And what translation is it that you like?
Well, that's a good question. Let me answer the latter part of that question first. I use various translations for various purposes. For example, I love the melodic nature of the King James Version. It's inherently memorable. There's a certain cadence to it, and I love Elizabethan English. So from that perspective, I'm very fond of the KJV. But I would never, ever subscribe to KJV only. I want to go with the best manuscript evidence that is extant today. And one has to remember that the KJV was commissioned by King James I in 1604 and not completed in 1611. Since then, there have been discoveries of manuscripts which have, in a very real way, enhanced our understanding of the biblical text. Now, there aren't substantive changes, but there are some changes, and some of them are stylistic, because words that were denotative in Elizabethan English are now connotative, and therefore the words have been changed such that we understand what they mean. For example, if you look, I think it's Acts chapter 28, it says that Paul from thence fetched a compass. Well, what does that mean? Compasses were not extant in the Western world, and even in the Eastern world were largely unheard of. They weren't invented except in the Chinese sense. And so we have little sense of understanding what from thence we fetched a compass means. So the new translators in the modern translations, they say, well, that means he proceeded in a circular course, which of course he did. And so they take it from the connotative back to the denotative, so we understand what it means. Some of it, of course, has to do with the, as I mentioned, the discovery of newer, more ancient manuscripts, newer in the sense that they weren't extant before, more ancient in the sense that they're older. So I think that that has helped us understand things about the Bible, even some of the uses of words in the Old Testament. So I don't subscribe to King James Version only. I think King James is a very good version. But the newer translations are useful as well. If I'm going to be memorizing the book of Proverbs, which is pithy, I would do so in the NASB, because it is more in the standard of a formal equivalency than a dynamic equivalency. If I'm going to quote the Sermon on the Mount, as I have in various places around the world, I'd do it using the NIV, because it sounds more like I'm just talking. So for the one, I want the more pithy. For the other, I want it more understandable in the street language of our day. But as far as omitting verses, if, for example, you don't have the comma Johannium in the newer versions, although it is usually in the footnotes, the reason is because it isn't found in the older, more reliable manuscripts. So it's not a matter of omitting it, because the concept is carried elsewhere in Scripture, but it is recognizing that the oldest, most reliable manuscripts don't include it to begin with. I've written about this in various places. Where you can get a pretty good overview of this is in my book, Has God Spoken?, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Colin. He's listening in Lincoln, Nebraska, Bot Radio. Hi, Colin.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Listen, I want you to give me just 20 seconds to describe something to you.
I have a son who has 170 IQ, who in science class has decided that Christianity or theology has no place in the world. I have a 12-year-old daughter who has gender identity issues because of what's going on. And it's not because of what they've been taught at home. We were a church-going family in a good church, but I will lay it on the shoulders of the educational system. What I want to ask you is, when did that start? Because I remember in 1962, I was in class as an altar boy, and the Catholic religion doesn't matter. It just matters that 90% of the people I knew were Catholics or Christians, and we took tests on evolution, Piltdown man, Cro-Magnon man, and it was almost like a joke, but we lived and died, and I was on A honor roll, but I failed science.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's not a matter of IQ, whether your IQ is 170 or whether your IQ is 150 or 130. The real issue is, do you have an open mind? And the problem with the evolutionary paradigm is the closing of the American mind. What's happened is we only allow for naturalistic explanations for that which we encounter in the universe. And I think that is ill-conceived. It is illogical, because the fact of the matter is the universe is an effect that requires a supernatural cause. To believe otherwise is to say that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. I think the real issue is a matter of the closing of the American mind, and philosophical naturalism has become the narrative. At the opening of the show, I gave a little example of that with respect to Barack Obama. The cosmos is all there is, or all there ever was, or all there ever will be. The motto of Sagan is being lauded. But it's not laudable. In fact, it's lamentable, the reason being that it is a great example of the closing of the mind, as opposed to being open to all the possibilities that are extant.
Yes, my son thinks Sagan is godlike.
Well, again, if you are a child growing up and that's the only narrative that you hear, then you're going to get a particular perspective of the world. And the reason that in many cases that only philosophical naturalism is now on the table is there was a good long time that Christianity, you sort of alluded to this in the prologue to your question, Christianity stepped away from the table. And now, once we want to come back to the table, everybody's looking at us and saying, who are you? Where did you come from? Not only that, but unfortunately, many people within the Christian church, the broader fundamentalist community, is ill-equipped to do science rightly, and therefore they're discredited and not taken seriously in the academic community. Fortunately, there are those like Casey Luskin, who wrote the article on cosmos, and that's a very enlightening article, by the way, because you'll see just how people have closed their mind and uncritically bought into disputed theories, like the Safana hypothesis of human origins, the idea being that in a drier climate in Africa, you had diminished woodlands, and that forced our forebears out of the trees and allegedly produced not only upright walking but larger brains. In other words, according to Tyson, Neil Tyson, who is the new Carl Sagan, the Carl Sagan of our epoch, this is how human intelligence evolved. What he doesn't tell you is this is a very much disputed idea. Most academics don't hold to this at all anymore, but he clings fastidiously to this belief, and it becomes his own fundamentalist from the left persuasion. So again, I think people are being brainwashed. That's the issue I was talking about at the opening of the broadcast. you know, a son or a daughter goes to school, and there's only one narrative that they hear anymore. And that narrative is pressed upon them with ferocious frequency. And if you hear of all of the evidence on one side of a ledger and never expose the evidence on the other side of the ledger, you're not going to be educated. You're going to be brainwashed. You're simply going to be led in a particular direction, no matter what your IQ. Again, this is one of the reasons that I am so focused on getting people to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. I just think it's one of those resources that will equip, encourage, enlighten, and open the mind, because it gives, in many cases, the other side of the perspective that you don't find in the typical American narrative that is being pressed upon us. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Please stay tuned.
Different cultures are directed by different voices: Shiva, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus. It is worth exploring, for example, the difference between a Shiva-shaped culture and a Jesus-shaped one. The former shows a persistent pattern of being life-fettering, while the latter consistently displays life-flourishing patterns. Find out how faithful Christians have transformed societies in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a few moments. In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness notes that after a half a millennium of dominance, the West is being eclipsed in the global era. The United States, as the lead society in the West, stands on the verge of relative, if not absolute, decline. Guinness sadly but soberly concludes that much of the Christian church in both Europe and North America is in a sorry state of weakness, confusion, unfaithfulness, and cultural captivity. Is there a reasonable hope for a turnaround in the midst of these troubling trends? A resounding yes is his conclusion, as he shows why the gospel is the most powerful force in history. To receive your copy of Renaissance, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just across our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Modernity has perverted our understanding of beauty with the corrosive acid of relativism in the same ways it has corrupted truth and goodness, and for the same reasons. Christians should be prepared to uphold the position that beauty is an objective feature of the world that is linked to truth and goodness by its origin in the nature of God. Other topics include Left Behind, From Root to Ripened Fruit, Jesus-shaped cultures, how faithful Christians have transformed societies, materialism for the masses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
you're feeling that a good number of vital signs in Western civilization are seriously declining, you're not alone. Troubling signals of a potentially dark future are increasing daily. In Oz Guinness's new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, you'll gain vital insights into the massive challenges now facing Christianity and why another Renaissance is both needed and possible today. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Doug listening on in Gas, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Doug. Hello, Doug. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Andrew listening in Modesto, California, KCIV. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. A friend of mine asked me a question the other day that I couldn't confidently answer, so I told her I'd call you and do some research and see what I come up with. She asked me if in the Old Testament, before the fall, everything was originally designed to eat plants or herbs. Why is it that there are animals that are specifically designed to hunt and eat meat?
Yeah, well, I don't think that the premise is correct. The idea that prior to the fall, all animals were designed just to eat herbs or plants. That's a presupposition made by some Christians, but I don't think it is a popular, nor is it a universally held presupposition.
Okay.
And I've written about this whole contention and contextualized it in a book called The Creation Answer Book. If you want to hang on, it'll give you answers not only to this question, but in a broader sense to other questions, because it really depends on what your presuppositions are when you come to that particular issue. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. I had a quick question for you. I've been listening to you for a very long time, the last 5 years of my life, and I was watching the History Channel, and I studied physics in college as well. But I have this burning question of, now that the LHC in Europe at the CERN lab has found the Higgs boson, or evidence of it, or you know how most people call it the God particle, my question is that true that since they have found this particle that gives mass to matter, is it true that because of the really fine tuning of the universe, that God is really out there?
Well, I think it does. It does point to God, absolutely. In fact, the appellation, the God particle given to the Higgs boson by Leon Letterman in his 1993 book, The God Particle, that was the name of the book, and that's where the appellation came from and why it stuck. But the reason he chose that label was because, like God, the particle underlies every physical object that exists, and like God, the particle is very difficult to detect. So I think the appellation is a good one for the situation. But look, this is, as you allude to in the prologue to the question, the subatomic particle and the standard model of particle physics. And it has been the final particle in the standard model to be empirically confirmed. But because of the appellation, the God particle, there are people who are, unlike you, ignorant of the subject, who think that somehow or other, to say that there is now a God particle expunges the need for God the Creator. And because of that and some other reasons, we actually did an article in the Christian Research Journal. It was written by William Lane Craig, and it's titled The God Particle. And I think it's really important because one of the things William Lane Craig points out is that a lot of people who simply don't have the kind of background knowledge that you have, well, they're writing newspaper articles and they're using the appellation or the moniker, the God particle, in such a way as to suggest to their readers that God is no longer necessary. Of course, nothing is farther from the truth. And what you said in the prologue to the question, I think, is right on point. The particle that gives mass to the other particles is what is in view here, not the expelling of God.
Well, the reason why I had called to ask is because my physics teacher actually had told me, he said, "Bah humbug, the God particle and God is not real." Because, and here's why, gravity explains how everything in the universe using the four interactions of energy is what causes everything to happen. You have gravity, then you have your strong and weak nucleotides, and your electron, I forget the last one he had said. But, and then he went on to say that because of that not being possible, that there is no God, and he said that he supports the idea and that most people that are out there that are in the science field, and I'm kind of on the side of science, but more on God's side. I'm more for Jesus. I praise him all the time. But anyway, it's getting back to what I was saying.
Yeah, but these are not mutually, I mean, the way in which this is posited is as though these are mutually exclusive domains. So you say, well, I'm sort of on the science side, but I'm also on the God side. Well, the truth of the matter is these are interlocking, overlapping domains. They're not isolated domains. And to be real candid, if one becomes conversant with scientific history, they find that the great scientists who have brought science to a place where it could develop as it has in the modern epoch, those men and women were not only men of science, but they were men of God. So this is not a mutual contradiction, as though if you're a scientist, you can't be a biblicist. The fact of the matter is, the Bible largely deals with God's unfolding plan of revelation and of redemption for humankind, whereas what science deals with is something that is commensurate with what we find in the book of nature. So God has the book of the Bible, which is, in essence, special revelation, God's unfolding plan of redemption. But he also has the book of nature, which is general revelation, and his eternal power, divine nature, are clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. I'm thinking of something that is pointed out in the article by William Lane Craig, and that is, it is very exciting when we encounter this Higgs boson, because what has happened as a result of that is we have a sense that you can have no explanation apart from God, because inculcated in the process is the brilliance of mathematics, which could not come about, or is very unlikely, you have to really stretch credulity to say it came about, apart from design that we see in God's created handiwork.
And that is exactly what I kind of told him. Not as elegant as the way you put it, but he had shunned me and said, no, because of the multiverse, because of there being 11 different dimensions out there. And I said, well, how do you know that God's not in any of those dimensions?
Well, another thing you want to ask him is the multiverse ad hoc? And I think that if he is being truthful, he would have to tell you that, yes, the multiverse is an ad hoc speculation that that doesn't have any basis in real science. So I've actually written about this because theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking, who is now going to be more famous than he ever was due to an upcoming movie, is infamous for supposing that the existence of a vast number of universes, a multiverse, explains the fine-tuning of our universe. In other words, Hawking, well, he asserts that given a sufficient number of random universes, one of them is bound to have the necessary conditions to support not only intelligent life, but also the proposition that blind chance can account for the fine-tuning to begin with. In reality, the multiverse proposition, I think, is an utterly desperate attempt to account for an unfathomably fine-tuned universe. And I think this, once again, shows bias in a particular direction. And I would tell your science teacher that he would do well to open his mind at least to possibilities outside of philosophical naturalism. Once you embrace philosophical naturalism, all you do is you live in a universe that is fatalistically determined on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics.
And string theory doesn't fit in there at all.
What's that?
String theory doesn't fit in there at all.
What do you mean, doesn't fit there at all?
Well, with how you were saying about there being the different multiverses out there, and he was saying string theory is what we're going to prove or use to prove that all this happened and that there is no creator. It's just a...
Yes, I mean, I think given his particular perspective, I would say, yeah, they run in tandem. And so note carefully the qualifier I made there, because in the sense of the multiverse theory, what you have is something that is proposed, but there's not a shred of evidence to support the existence of a physical universe other than our own. Much less a virtually infinite number of that kind of universe. So the hope and the hope of multitudes who share these kinds of presuppositions is that they have a theory, and that theory is going to somehow or other prove to be correct by something that's discovered in the future. So I call this theoretical pining rather than scientific discovery. And I think in addition to undermining science, the multiverse hypothesis throws plain old common sense under the bus for reasons that I've written about in the Creation Answer book. And I also point out there that the eminent theoretical physicist and, by the way, Hawking colleague Roger Penrose, even though he himself is an agnostic, has rightly concluded that the multi-universe hypothesis is impotent and misconceived. In other words, the Big Bang turns out to be an event of almost infinitesimal probability, and the probabilistic resources provided by a multiverse turn out to be insufficiently rich. So the Big Bang isn't something that is created or happens over and over again, and therefore the most plausible explanation for the fine-tuning of the universe is yet, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Further information in my book, The Creation Answer Book, which seems to be a bit of a theme in this segment of the broadcast. We'll be right back with more answers in a moment.
Growing numbers of people are persuaded that the best days of the Christian faith are behind us, and that our descent into a new dark age is gaining momentum. Is there a genuine hope for societal redemption and renewal in the midst of these troubling times? In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. The Christian faith has transformed entire cultures and civilizations, and Christians may yet change the world again if we answer the call to a new Christian renaissance. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will return
in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Due in part to the popularity of the Left Behind novels, now a big-budget apocalyptic action film, millions believe that Jesus will secretly rapture his church 7 years before his second coming. But for 1900 years of church history, no one separated these two events. Christians today need to ask whether this teaching has any basis in sound biblical exegesis. Other topics include, did Jesus go to hell? How does sanctification work? Part 2, A Mind for the Beautiful, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Western cultural elites have disregarded God for more than two centuries, but now, in the early 21st century, Dr. Oz Guinness concludes that their movement from disregard to desecration to decadence is going mainstream, and the United States is only the lead society among those close to the tipping point. Is there genuine hope for societal redemption in the midst of growing decadence? In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness declares a resounding yes. When the gospel is lived out in practice, it is the most powerful force in history, both for individuals and for entire societies. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Most serious students of world history would identify the Renaissance as a key cultural movement that spanned the period from the 14th to the 17th century. Many astute observers of the West today would concur that a sweeping Renaissance is exactly what is needed now. In his new book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Oz Guinness surveys the great challenges facing the West today and why a Renaissance is urgently needed. To receive your copy of Renaissance as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I would ask people to pray for our ministry. We were down for 3 months in a row, including this month, financially. And we're, last I looked, $46,000 behind just this month. So it's just imperative that we catch up. And as Larry Johnston, my colleague, mentioned on the broadcast a few days ago, we believe that prayer is firing the winning shot. So let me just ask people to pray for our ministry and pray that God will continue to raise up those people who he has endowed with resources so this ministry can continue making a difference around the globe. And I mean literally around the globe. If you look at what's happening in places where there's a robust growth of Christianity, many of the new converts are like tumbleweed. They have no root. And as a result, the cults are picking them up. One by one, they're twisting scripture, and the new converts don't know any better, and they go from making a very enthusiastic response to the gospel right into the kingdom of the cults. So arming the body of Christ in the burgeoning church in the East is very, very important, and God has opened so many doors for us. We're just asking that people supply us with the ammunition so that we can supply the boots on the ground, as it were, with the ammunition that they need in standing for truth, no matter what the cost. So again, if you can pray for this ministry, it would mean the world to me. I know our Lord will listen to the prayers of His righteous saints, and I believe God will also supply the need He has for so many years in our history, and I certainly believe that will continue on. So this is not a voice of desperation as much as it is a recognition that we are to speak to our Heavenly Father about all our cares, all our needs, and He will answer according to His riches and glory. So please pray for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast and our ministry outreaches around the globe. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sarah in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. I just have a question about heaven and the second coming of Christ. I always read that, you know, Christ is He's going to prepare a place for His believers. So does that mean that heaven does not exist right now until He comes back? So, like, the people who died before Christ came, are they essentially waiting until He comes back, and then they'll be risen and then go to heaven? How does that work?
Yeah, I was just looking at my book, Afterlife. I've written about that very issue. There's so much confusion within the body of Christ on this particular issue. First, in biblical worldview, we believe that when at death there is an unnatural rending of body and soul, the physical part of our humanity is buried, but the metaphysical aspect of our body, our soul, and spirit goes to be with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus paints a picture of that with Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Lazarus dies, and the angels carry him to Abraham's bosom or paradise, where he is comforted. Abraham's bosom or paradise is simply a way of talking about being in the presence of God. So a week and a half or so ago, I had to fly to Los Angeles and participate in the funeral of my dear friend Gretchen Pasentino, who died at age 62, one of the great apologists of the 20th and 21st century. She was just brilliant. She mentored so many people in the Christian world. So she's one of those unseen forces. She certainly had a popularity in her own right. People knew about her, but on a broader national, international scale, she wasn't as well known as many of the people that she mentored. But I went back and participated in her funeral. I was the wrap-up speaker for the funeral, and so I laid this out. Gretchen died, her body was buried, but she is present. She is being comforted. She's in the presence of God. And certainly we can say that is heaven. But she's also awaiting a far greater actuality, and that is when Jesus appears a second time, her non-physical humanity will reunite with her physical humanity. And she will be resurrected, as 1 Corinthians 15 points out, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And this is precisely what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that we do not grieve as the rest of those who have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that God will bring with Jesus those like Gretchen who have fallen asleep in Him. So she is in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus appears a second time, she will be resurrected, and then she'll be what she was intended to be. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. So that's what we look forward to. That's what we long for. So there's life that we can experience now, which is to say, as Peter put it, we can be partakers of the divine nature, and that is life indeed, as described in Scripture. There's life after life, and that absent from the body means present with the Lord, and there's life after life after life, which is to say, when Jesus appears a second time, we'll be resurrected. The physical and non-physical aspects of our humanity will once again be as one, and we will live in the presence of the Lord in a new heaven and a new earth.
Okay, well, that makes complete sense. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You got it. And I've written about this in a lot of detail in my book, Afterlife. You know, there are two things I know with absolute certainty. One thing is that one day, like Gretchen, I will be dead. The second is, I'm not dead now. And so what matters is what I do between those two points in time, the point of my birth and the point of my death. I don't want to make my life count because Gretchen has already run her race. I'm still running my race. And one day, I'll be giving an account of what I did for what I did in the flesh. And so I want to take advantage of every door that God opens for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Andrew, San Antonio, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Hank. I really appreciate your broadcast. My question to you is actually about a ministry by Mr. Perry Stone. I've got some family members that are I don't even call them followers, but they do listen to him and they believe that he is giving prophetic words for things. I really kind of wanted your opinion on him, his ministry, and kind of where he stands on things.
Yeah, a sensationalist and a horrible teacher on many counts to follow. I was looking at a fact sheet we put together on this some time ago, and it is simply appalling that this man has a platform within the body of Christ. But unfortunately, as people grow more and more biblically illiterate, the twisting of Scripture that he is so good at, Scripture for him is like a wax nose. You can turn it whatever way you want. People fall for it, the selling, the sensationalism, the sophistry. He claims to be one of the first Americans to confirm and publicly write on the search for the ashes of the red heifer, for example. But in place of sacrificing holy cows again, we are called to celebrate Holy Communion in remembrance of the sacrifice of the Holy Christ. And even Holy Communion, he prostitutes, such that it's something that you participate on a daily basis in your own home, in isolation, as somehow or other a way of promoting divine healing, which is guaranteed, at least in his particular worldview. There's a clip. I haven't actually heard this before, so I'm going on faith here, but I want to hear it right now. This is Perry Stone. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Why did God want to take the temple which was in heaven and build it on earth? Watch this. Because Satan had at one time been in the third heaven. He was in control of the second heaven. God remained in the holy temple in the third heaven. But man was down here in the first heaven. Adam was down here on earth. And when Adam gave the dominion over to Satan at the fall, God had to have a way of getting back into the earth. So what God did was God said to the Hebrew people, I want you to build me a place to dwell on earth so that I can come out of heaven and come down to earth where Satan is trying to take control and dominion, and I can take the earth back from the enemy, and I can redeem mankind.
That is so bad. I don't even know if it's necessary for me to give some kind of unraveling of the heresy there. But the very notion that Adam gave dominion over to Satan, so God gives dominion to Adam, then Adam gives it to Satan, and as a result, God is out of the earth, and he has to find a way to get back in. This is, anyone that's read through the Bible once should know better than this. And yet you have teachers like this, published by major publishers, preaching in major public platforms, and the body of Christ is simply buying it. Why? Because we lack discernment skills. Why? Because we don't know our Bibles. And if we don't know our Bibles, this is the very problem. It's the Perry Stone story. I was in Chiang Mai teaching missionaries. These missionaries working all over the world. Many, many converts coming to faith in Christ. One of the great poisons that they talk about on the mission field are people like the Perry Stones of the world, who the new Christians buy into in an age of mass communication and technology. Unfortunately, it works for good and ill. So they hear about this kind of stuff and they think, well, this is a representation of Christianity. And you have these people running roughshod over the scriptures, and unfortunately, the new converts are buying into it, and the mission agencies and the missionaries' boots on the ground that are giving their life for the gospel, they just need ammunition because they just don't know how to deal with these kinds of perversions, whether it's the Perry Stones or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Almighty God cult or Falun Gong. The cults are picking them up. And it is time for us to provide the ammunition that is so needed on the mission field. And CRI is involved in a Going Global initiative to do just that. God's given us the resources, the ammunition. We have to make sure it gets distributed. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, we'll get to your call. And if you're dialing in, do remember the number to dial, and you can dial this number for the next hour to get your question answered. 888-ASK-HANK, 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. And please remember to pray for this ministry. God bless you. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In his book, Renaissance, The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, Dr. Oz Guinness notes that after a half a millennium of dominance, the West is being eclipsed in the global era. The United States, as the lead society in the West, stands on the verge of relative, if not absolute, decline. Guinness sadly but soberly concludes that much of the Christian church in both Europe and North America is in a sorry state of weakness, confusion, unfaithfulness, and cultural captivity. Is there a reasonable hope for a turnaround in the midst of these troubling trends? A resounding yes is his conclusion, as he shows why the gospel is the most powerful force in history. To receive your copy of Renaissance, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just across our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe,
it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.